Crowds asked John the Baptist, "What should we do?" He said to them in reply, "Whoever has two cloaks should share with the person who has none, and whoever has food should do likewise." Even tax collectors came to be baptized, and they said to him, "Teacher, what should we do?" He answered them, "Stop collecting more than what is prescribed." Soldiers also asked him, "And what is it that we should do?" He told them, "Do not practice extortion. Do not falsely accuse anyone, and be satisfied with your wages." Now the people were filled with expectation, and all were asking in their hearts whether John might be the Christ. John answered them all, saying, "I am baptizing you with water, but one mightier than I is coming. I am not worthy to loosen the thong on his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. His willowing fan is in his hand to clear his threshing floor and to gather the wheat into his barn, but the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire." Exhorting them in many other ways, he preached good news to the people. The gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. Can you believe it's the third week of Advent? Shout for joy, O daughter Zion. Sing joyfully, O Israel. Time to start getting excited. Let me tell you why we are making the proclamation of joy. I am really struggling with holding on to those feelings of joy and propping up those feelings of anticipation. Just a few days ago, I came home from the pastoral council meeting on Thursday night and turned on Thursday night football. That's not what got me depressed, okay? But I will tell you that the meeting, the pastoral council meeting, I got home around 8:30 in the evening, and so I turned on the game just maybe about a minute before halftime. And then there was a news break for halftime. They were going to give us the news and the headlines in 60 seconds. These were the headlines. Series of bomb threats in Cedarburg. Road rage in Germantown. Shooting in Milwaukee over argument. Within 60 seconds, I was depressed. Then when I read the paper or look at the news online or watch television, it seems like the world is moving more and more not towards joy, but through chaos. And yet, here we are, the third week of Advent, and yet we are called to joy, to rejoicing over God Jesus coming both in the past, in the present, and in the future. So I spend this time fighting to hold on to some type of anchor, some certainty that life is safe and worthwhile, and there can be joy in the midst of fear. Our second reading from St. Paul holds the answer for all of us. The Lord is near. Have no anxiety at all, but in everything by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, make your requests be known to God. Then the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. The Lord is near. Now there is something to rejoice about. Do you and can you believe that the Lord is near? Can you believe that despite a world that seems chaotic, that everything will be all right? Fear is the enemy of seeing things clearly. Being afraid freezes our hearts. Fear makes faith seem like a far-off oasis. But fear and chaos don't stop God, and in that lies our source of joy. Thomas Merton said this, "Into this world, this demented inn, in which there is absolutely no room for him at all, Christ comes uninvited." Do not stop your prayers and petitions, but pray and ask not out of fear of anxiety, but in trust. You will either believe that God is near or you and move yourself closer in love and mercy, or we will hold on to that fear, thinking that somehow through our own actions, we will keep ourselves and those we love safe. As I think about it, Advent may be the perfect time to actually put all of our cards on the table. And in fact, let me challenge you. Are you a person of fear and little faith, or are you a person of Advent, a person of expectant joy? Now is the time to answer that question, because the Lord is near. In our gospel, John the Baptist is asked, what should we do? After we have decided that, yes, we are a person of Advent, and we are going to cast away our fears, what should we do? Pope Francis constantly asks us to look at our families, those that live in our house, those that we commune with, and those of the entire world family. Making our home, this church, and our world a warm home for people and a place for prayer and nourishment of the soul, this is what we should do. We all have friends and family that we have not been in contact with. It is the people we quickly drop a Christmas card to only after we've unexpectedly received one from them. Also, the ones that weigh heavy on our hearts, family and friends that we don't contact due to something remembered, or worse, some long-forgotten offense. We mistakenly think that our rejection of them or absence or lack of communication is somehow sending a message to them. It's exacting some type of punishment, or we're righting some type of wrong, and we feel justified, but it doesn't. Pope Francis asks us to put mercy ahead of judgment. And I often think of that movie Home Alone, which I hope you kids know about. One of those Christmas classics that they run at Christmas time, and it's been running through the Advent season. If you remember that story, the main story is about the ingenuity of an 8-year-old who's left alone at home while the parents and the family fly off to France. And in the meantime of the whole movie, he thwarts burglars and everything. But a subplot of that movie is an elderly gentleman that lives next door. And the 8-year-old is afraid of that gentleman, and because in the past he looked at him as some kind of scary figure, until the boy meets him at church. The elderly man is sitting there, and he sits next to the little boy, and he says that he's in church to hear his granddaughter singing and practicing in the children's choir for Christmas. The elderly man tells the young boy that it's the only way he can hear his granddaughter because he and his son are not talking to each other over some argument, where words of hurt were spoken and wounds produced. The young boy challenges the man into calling his son, reconciling, taking a chance. The man is afraid. He's afraid that his son will reject him. And the boy says, yes, that might happen, but if he was his son, he would want to see his father. At the end of the movie, as the boy is reconnected with his family, the young boy is drawn to a window to see the elderly man welcoming his son and his family back into his home. That's what we should do. This season could just come and go. We could put up the tree and the decorations, and then we can just take them down after Christmas. We can take out the fancy dishes and then put them away after dinner, and at the end of Christmas, remain unchanged. Or you could wake up on Christmas morning a different person than who started Advent season. Advent is meant to reveal what is hidden in us, to open our eyes, to tell us what we should do. This week, our Advent conspiracy is to give more. Start by cleaning our own houses. Clean your hearts of bitterness and judgment. Fill it with the refreshing waters of mercy. Then slow down. Take 5 or 10 minutes a day to just be quiet with God. Quiet your to-do list in your head. And then think, how can I give more? Secondly, reach out to someone who has been distant from you. Through a letter or a card or email, reconnect with someone whose relationships you cherished and now you've lost. To those you work with, be fair and kind and be merciful. To people you see commonly at the store, on the phone, those who provide a service for you, radiate joy and compassion. We have been listening to the prophet Isaiah through all of Advent. And in his first chapter, in the first week, before any prediction of the Messiah, before any promise to redeem that which is lost, came a call to make amends. The words of Isaiah. God says, "Come now, let us set things right," says the Lord. Use joy, calm, and serenity to combat fear and anxiety. Anxiety and fear that leaves you feeling abandoned by God. The exact opposite feeling of expectation that is to define Advent. Recall that you were all baptized. Your baptism is not just an event, but rather it was a transformation. It was joy stamped onto your soul. You were baptized with the Holy Spirit and with fire. Live and rejoice in that Spirit. Come on now, let us set things right. Let us stand and profess our faith using the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven.